before we get into this episode of the podcast, I wanted to note that it was recorded back in early May, and there are a couple of things mentioned in this podcast that timing-wise have had things change. The first is that I note pretty late in the podcast when discussing the FDTA that the joint rule wasn't out. Since then, the joint rule has come out and been passed, but that really doesn't change the rest of the tenor of that conversation, except to note that the SEC's two-year window will have started at this point. Secondly, Paulina mentions a May meeting of the board and that the discussion memorandum on the taxonomy that she'll discussed may come out in August. That is the plan currently that was decided at the May board meeting. So now on to the podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bridging the Gap, a podcast of the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. I am Joel Black, chair of the GASB, and today's episode is about our voluntary digital financial reporting project, also known as a taxonomy. And in today's episode, Matt Broder, our host, Financial Accounting Foundation Vice President of Communications, is going to be talking and is here today with yours truly, as well as Paulina Harrow, the senior technical manager at the GASB. So let's get into our conversation, Matt.
Thank you, Joel. It is great to be here with you and Paulina today. And this is definitely a very, very interesting project that all of you are working on. So let's get right into it. The Voluntary Digital Financial Reporting Taxonomy Project has been underway for a while now. Before we discuss what it is in specifics, could you, Joel, just say a little bit about what this technology project arose from? Kind of what was the context in which the GASB began to look at this concept?
Sure. I don't know if I could do it in a little bit, Matt, but I'm going to try my best. And I'm going to start, and you might get a little nervous. I'm going to step back and really look at what the mission of the GASB is.
Okay.
If you think about the mission of the GASB, it's to set accounting and financial reporting standards for state and local governments in the U.S. That are generally accepted accounting principles. And if you think about how our kind of municipal, state and local government community has done that, and issue those financial reports over the years, they year end comes, they take those standards, they prepare their accounts, and they prepare and draft a financial report that, you know, takes several months after year end for them to pull together. And then they produce that, and the user community takes in that report and then manually extracts from a used to be just 200-page paper document, now has more recently become a 200-page electronic paper document or PDF, and then they manually extract that information and input it into their processes for decision-making. Now, when I came here in 2020, 2021 timeframe, I kind of had to imagine that technology was changing something in that process. And what I really was interested in about that was, how does that change what we do at the GASB? How do we maintain our role as the standard setter for this information for GAAP so that that information continues in how technology is changing to be the predominant reliable information that the market and our users utilize? And so around 2022, we began devoting more team resources to looking at, throughout that whole process, how is technology changing the way preparers prepare the reports, auditors audit, the way users consume it? What we saw back in the day, and we've kind of kept pulse on this too, it still largely isn't changing. The preparers largely aren't changing yet. I'm sure that's probably coming and we're still paying attention to that. But what we really saw was the users. Even back in 2022, they were already starting to extract information in a more automated way out of those PDFs as opposed to the manual entry. And so what that caused us to kind of do is, if financial information is going to be prepared, presented, consumed more digitally, how do we make sure, and it's not necessarily from a PDF always, how do we make sure that GAAP maintains its relevance and we kind of create a for lack of a better term, data structure. And I don't want to step on maybe what Paulina can talk about next, but a rule that makes GAAP and financial information relevant, GAAP financial information relevant in this digital financial world. That's how the kind of taxonomy, the Digital Financial Reporting Project, kind of came out of those concerns and those endeavors.
So not a new, this is not new on your radar at all. You've been looking at this for quite a while already.
We have.
Great. So Paulina, I will confess that I may not be the person, if you put a gun to my head, who could be able to define a taxonomy. And so for my benefit, and perhaps for the benefit of a few of our listeners, in this context, what is a taxonomy?
Thank you, Matt. I think if we want to talk about a taxonomy, I tend to prefer to talk about it as a general thing as a taxonomy and then connect it a little bit to financial reporting. If you think about a taxonomy in general sense in your everyday life, my favorite analogy is that of your attic, and I hope you're a neat freak, so it will make sense to you.
Oh, like the attic in my house.
Agreed.
Got it. Okay.
And so in the attic of your house, I really hope you at least have three different distinct piles. One of them in which you organize your holiday decorations, one in which you put your memorabilia, and one in which you put your sports stuff. Within your holiday decorations, I hope you separate your Christmas, your Halloween, your Thanksgiving decorations. In your memorabilia, you're probably separate pictures and knickknacks and other things. In your sport pile, you're probably going to put the summer sport gear and the winter sport gear separate. This organization of items into three large buckets and then sub buckets with each in container is essentially a taxonomy. In its simplest terms, it's organizing information or items or group of things into meaningful things to keep you organized. How do you relate that to a financial reporting? In financial reporting, what a taxonomy does is enables the information in a financial statement to have meaning. You can say, well, of course, the financial standards already do that. I have a statement of activities, a statement of net position, I have my funds financial, so why do I need a taxonomy? Because it enables machines to understand information that humans consume with context. Assume that I read the line item that says accounts receivable, 10,000. A machine doesn't know anything other than receivable 10,000. Mm-hmm. A human consumes the context of it by reading. It's in the statement of net position. It's 10,000. It's not 10,000. It's 10 million because it had been rounded. Mm-hmm. It's reporting in US dollars and is reporting in the statement in the governmental line item, and it's part of the total governmental activities. The taxonomy infuses all that metadata and information into a single line item so the machine can consume and make sense. And so essentially, a taxonomy enables a preparer communication of information with a lot more meaning through metadata and a user to be able to extract the data and organize it in a fashion in which they can perform analytical with that information with more meaning and context.
So that is a great definition and a motivation for me to get up into my attic and start organizing things. When you think about the objective of this project now, what would you say maybe are one or two of the top priorities for the project?
The top priority for us is to produce one or more taxonomies that can enable people to communicate in a digital format. As Joel was alluded, I think the market and the technology continue to evolve. So if you have a digital financial taxonomy, essentially what you're doing is translating financial statements to a digital form, to a digital message. And so a government can, instead of producing a paper PDF pieces of information, they can start issuing the same financial information in a digitized form that a machine can consume with ease. The changes in technology of our age makes this process incredibly complicated, difficult, and really fun and easy to work with because yep. The semantical meaning continues to evolve. And so having a taxonomy where you define terminology, when you put metadata, when you enrich the information that is in a paper PDF, hopefully would also help the users consume and use with a better form. And so it's establishing a bridge of communication between preparers of information and consumers of information.
Got it. Thanks. I've had some of your wonderful colleagues on this podcast in the past, where they're talking about statement, you know, pick your number, you know, project this, exposure draft that. This is clearly a very different kind of project for the GASB. So you know, maybe just help me better understand what is this, and maybe more importantly, what is it not? For GASB people who are interested in what GASB is doing.
Thank you. And that's an incredibly important clarification, because every time I make this presentation, I always tell my audience, this will never become GASB Statement 120. That's not happening. It's, as Joel alluded, a voluntary framework. And so governments can adopt this if they choose to present their information in a different format. So it's not creating new standards. It's not creating new reporting requirements. It's simply translating existing and future reporting requirements that the board may do through standard setting into a form, into a different language, into a digital language, into a machine readable language, as opposed to the way in which we communicate today. So the difference is there would be no standard setting with it. The board is heavily involved and obviously behind the project, but there are no decisions about changing financial reporting with it. It's simply changing the underlying format of presentation, not the information included.
Yeah. Okay. So to take on what sounds like a very ambitious endeavor, it would make sense that you might want to tap into realms or domains of expertise that don't live here in Norwalk, Connecticut on the GASB staff or the FAF or FASB staff. So I'm just wondering how you have brought in other perspectives or expertise to help you in developing where you are so far, at least with the project.
So I think one of the things we did is we did hire a staff member who has technology expertise that has a complete domain in this area, who has been incredibly helpful, giving us all up to speed. Mm-hmm. And so in the evolution of the project, it has become a merger of the accountants and the technologists. And this conversation continues to be, I think, fascinating from a team perspective. The technologists need to learn governmental accounting, and the governmental accounting is learning technology. So it has been a really interesting dynamic as a team. Mm.
And so there, I believe you formalized this with a consultative group of some kind.
That has been probably the most helpful part of the project, to be able to bring what you were asking about, additional perspectives and additional voices and perspectives to the room. The GASB has a very strong formal way of establishing consultative groups broadly. In major projects, you always see task forces, and you see that. In the taxonomy consultative group, or TCG as we like to call it, we had to add an additional perspective. We always work in any standard setting projects with preparers, auditors, and users because of the diversity of the opinion and the cost benefit and the tension that always exists. In the development of the TCG, we had to add a new and third very interesting group set, which is the technology people. We have a very rich group of set of people around development of taxonomies who have expertise in this area. We've also brought a lot of technology people who extract the data and consume the data. And from that perspective, it has been probably the most helpful in understand how to build these issues that we're discussing. Today, there are several standard setting bodies who have developed taxonomies for digital reporting. Mm-hmm. And I think the challenge that we are faced with, that I think the consultative group has been instrumental in helping us understand, is the differentials in the accounting. Mm-hmm. For example, in governmental accounting in the U.S., we report in different bases of accounting. No other standard setting body does that. In the governmental space in the U.S., we have different vertical columns that have your specific meaning for the users of information. It's a slightly different presentation than other standard setting bodies. And so all these complexities that create structurally, the TCG has been extremely helpful to help us think through the problems of how to think through those.
Yeah, great, great. So Joel, your very first appearance on our podcast was to discuss certainly one of your favorite topics at the time, the Financial Data Transparency Act. This sounds like it's kind of in the same neighborhood, but I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about how the taxonomy project relates specifically to the FDTA, or if it relates to the FDTA.
Sure, Matt. That's, you know, takes us back a little bit, right? Episode one of Bridging the Gap. And so people can go back and listen to that and hear a little bit more about FDTA. But as a little reminder, that was something that was signed into law, just to refresh people's memory, in December of 2022. So around the same time that we were already kind of started. We had been looking at this for a little bit of time, and we're already kind of starting to break off into a taxonomy project. So to me, FDTA and this project are not necessarily related at all, in that our project was undertaken without kind of knowledge of FDTA. And because we thought it was an important thing to do for the reasons I described earlier, we continue to think that, and, you know, whatever happens with FDTA won't change this. But what FDTA said, as a little bit of a kind of update of maybe where we are with where people are with that, is that it was a law signed by Congress that directed the FSOC agencies of the federal government to create a data standard and require machine readable information for any information submitted to those agencies to be machine readable. Mm-hmm. And for us in the municipal kind of bond community, what that said, it specified that any information submitted to the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board should follow this FDTA, this kind of data standard. And the law said we're going to break the rulemaking up into two phases. The first phase was a joint rule that would be promulgated by all of the FSOC agencies, including the SEC, to create a kind of broad data standard that then in the subsequent 2 years, the individual FSOC agencies would take that broad rule and then create more specific rules for the entities they regulate to implement that mm-hmm. broad rule. Now, in August of 2024, the broad rule was proposed by all the FSOC agencies and comments were provided, and then it's just kind of been sitting ever since. I think around the late part of 2024, some priorities changed, there was administration change, and the agency seemed to be working on other things. So mm-hmm. we really kind of don't know when, right. or even maybe if, yeah. But really when this will pick back up. But when it does pick back up, if and when it does, then they would theoretically issue some final joint rule, and then maybe a 2 year clock would start for the SEC to implement specific rules for the municipal bond community, and in which time then they could choose what information submitted to the MSRB must follow that. Is it the annual financial report? If it is the annual financial report, then that kind of data standard that they're talking about could be a taxonomy like the one we're creating, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. They mm-hmm. might not even choose to have the annual financial report be information that's required to apply FDTA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have updated the Office of Municipal Securities at the SEC periodically about the status of our project and the progress we're making. Mm-hmm. They've been interested and asked questions, but what they will ever do when they pick this back up, we don't know at this point.
Got it. So we're more than 10 minutes into this podcast and nobody has said the words artificial intelligence yet. So here we go. AI is obviously an enormously disruptive new technology that is on the scene since really you began. And so I'm just wondering how you think about this project or the taxonomy concept in an era where AI is rapidly advancing its capabilities.
Yes, certainly the changes and rapid changes in technology maybe have impacted our thinking a little bit along the way. It's certainly something we're paying attention to. But from the beginning, it's been an objective of mine to create something here that was for a future state. It wasn't using only current state technology, but envisioned some kind of future state and would hold up and be useful in such a future state. And the way I think about it now is that our taxonomy, our tool, our rules, whatever you want to call them, essentially are an AI agent training tool. So currently, a user of the financial reports who wants to download a bunch of information and have an AI tool extract information out of government PDFs has to train it, has to teach the AI agent how to do that, how to have the appropriate context, how to organize it, like Paulina talked about. Once our project is complete, they can just say, hey, AI tool, go use that GASB taxonomy. Now you know enough to take this PDF and organize it and structure it mm-hmm. without them having to program it and teach it a lot along the way. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about this tool ultimately is an AI agent training tool.
Interesting.
So that it maintains the relevance of GAP and uses GAP and uses all the things that our team is creating here within the modern technology.
Interesting. Well, this has been a really interesting big picture discussion, but I know that you are actually, of course, there's tangible work taking place and work that will in the not too distant future be shared with stakeholders for comments. And I'm just wondering, just if you want to, we're going to talk about this in much more detail in our next episode, but if there's maybe an appetizer you can serve right now, just to give folks a sense of what GASB is going to be talking about with stakeholders soon.
So sure, Matt. What we have now in the technical plan is that we were planning to issue a discussion memorandum for May. We are providing a technical plan update in the coming board meeting, proposing to the board to have it approved in August, mm-hmm. with the understanding that it would publish either at the end of August or early weeks in September. Mm-hmm. The discussion memorandum is intended to communicate, and as you said, we'll talk in detail in the next podcast, but it's intended to communicate a very high level structural decisions made with the taxonomy. So as you can imagine, a taxonomy needs to have also a foundational set of ground rules. And that's what we're trying to provide our stakeholders to give us feedback on. We plan to accompany it with a taxonomy digital file. And we expect and hope to be able to receive feedback about the operability of it, the structural decisions made, and then be able to make progress from that point and then start filling in the blanks of it. It's not a complete taxonomy. Mm-hmm. It would not even be a demonstration taxonomy. It's intended to illustrate the foundational choices that have been made in the architectural design.
Great. Well, there's obviously a lot to dive into in our next episode, and we look forward to having you back, Paulina, to go into the details.
Of course.
Joel, Paulina, thank you both for this great conversation on what is clearly a high impact project that's going to have a long, long tail of consequences for stakeholders. So thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasb.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the GASB on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.